from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listener, welcome back to our English program over at RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we will bring you first our news, followed by My Indonesia, Today in History, Highlight of the Week, News in Brief, Indonesian Wonder, Miss Lady, and Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today over at RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news. Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo arrives in Bangladesh to continue his state visit. The Indonesian government distributes assistance to earthquake victims in West Java and Banten. Now the news in detail. After flying 2 hours and 14 minutes, President Joko Widodo and First Lady Iriana Joko Widodo arrived at Hazrat Shah Jalal International Airport, Dhaka, Bangladesh at 19:20 local time or 17:20 WIB using Indonesian Presidential Plane 1 on Saturday, January 27, 2018. At the airport, President Joko Widodo and Mrs. Iriana were greeted by Bangladeshi President Abdul Hamid and First Lady Rashida Khanam. After that, President Joko Widodo and the Bangladeshi President attended the state ceremony. From the airport, the President and Mrs. Iriana went to the hotel where they are staying during the state visit in Dhaka. In the afternoon, President Jokowi received an honorary visit by Bangladesh Foreign Minister Abdul Hasan Mahmud Ali at the hotel. President Jokowi's meeting with Bangladeshi President Abdul Hamid was held at the Credential Hall Bangaban Presidential Palace in the evening and with a dinner. In his visit, the President, accompanied by Coordinating Minister for the Economy, Darmin Nasution, Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi, Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung, Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita, and Special Staff Coordinator President Teten Mas Duki. The Indonesian government ensured that earthquake victims will receive assistance during the emergency response period. This was conveyed by Minister of Social Idrus Marham on Saturday, 27 January, when he handed over assistance to residents of Megamendung Subdistrict, Bogor, West Java, who became victims of the earthquake some time ago. Until now, the Ministry of Social Affairs continues to collect data and hand over assistance to the victims. Moreover, the government will also rebuild the homes of residents who were shattered by the earthquake in stages. From the latest data, more than 10,000 people in West Java and Banten became victims, while about 600 buildings, both houses and buildings, were damaged. During the visit, Minister Idrus Marham also symbolically handed over more than 2 billion rupiah assistance to the earthquake victims.
Pak Presiden ada di luar negeri, tetapi selalu memonitor.
Mr. President is now abroad, but always monitors through the Indonesian military and police, mainly through the Ministry of Social Affairs. President asked the Minister of Social Affairs to solve the problems faced by the people. He said that all people who hit by disaster must be protected by the government. Furthermore, Minister of Social Affairs Idrus Marham stated that the government's assistance to the victims of earthquake in West Java and Banten must be scattered evenly and proportionally. The ministry will continue to monitor, and he has asked the team to come out the quake victims. The total assistance of more than 2 billion rupiah distributed in the form of logistics compensation for the heirs of the victims died from the earthquake, as well as disaster alert vehicles in the form of water tank. Previously, an earthquake with magnitude of 6.1 Richter scale has shook Lebak, Banten on Tuesday, 23 January at 13:34 p.m. The earthquake that was felt up to Lampung and Central Java also brought impact of material loss in some areas in West Java. The United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, or UNESCO, is pushing for the importance of a strategic environmental assessment step in protecting the rainforest as the World Cultural Heritage. Director of UNESCO Jakarta, Syahbaz Khan, to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Friday said that the environmental assessment is needed to understand the environmental ecology as well as to find alternative steps in an effort to maintain its sustainability.
That's where we have to do what we call the strategic environmental assessment, which is precisely about the same topic, where it is very sensitive not to build roads and where it should be possible to find alternates. And how can we have the plantations, but at the same time we conserve the outstanding universal value. So there is a lot of work which has gone in to understand the ecology, to understand the socio-economic aspects, to also to understand where are the planned roads and what would be the kind of impacts of them, and how can we actually find some alternatives with the least impact.
Previously, it was reported that UNESCO released a list of endangered World Heritage Sites. There are 21 new locations, so that the total locations that deserve attention are 54 locations around the world. One of the locations is rainforest in Sumatra, which, according to UNESCO, is threatened by extinction due to human activities. Rainforest in Sumatra has an area of approximately 2.5 million hectares divided into three national parks, namely Gunung Leuser National Park, Bukit Barisan Selatan National Park, and Kerinci Seblat National Park. The Sumatra rainforest has a high biodiversity as it is populated by approximately 10,000 species of plants, 580 species of birds, and 201 species of mammals. Hairul Saleh, an animal ecologist from WWF Indonesia, told RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia on Friday in Jakarta that the protection of orangutan population in Indonesia should be done optimally given the high vulnerability to extinction. He mentioned the steps, including the prevention of criminal acts of illegal hunting of orangutans. In addition, he said efforts to unite orangutan habitat in Indonesia is also needed to connect the existing orangutan population. The effort is aimed not only as a preventive measure but also a conservation effort for orangutan habitat in Indonesia.
Menghubungkan habitat-habitat orangutan yang sudah terfragmentasi. Gitu.
We are connecting fragmented orangutan habitats for various reasons, so that the population can be connected and can be sustainable preserved in the long run. The protection of the habitats must also be legally accommodated, for example, in a spatial planning, especially for areas outside protected areas. Furthermore, Carol Saleh said forest conservation also endangered the existence of orangutan habitat in Indonesia. The efforts, according to him, must be initiated with measures steps that can still protect orangutan habitat. In addition, Carol Saleh also encourages law enforcement efforts from the police officers against illegal orangutan poaching that threatens the preservation of the habitat. Recently, Indonesia is shocked by the finding of orangutan's bodies in Kalimantan. Police confirmed it would pursue the perpetrators of the orangutan's murder, including a company which is proven funded such a full action. House of Representatives Deputy Speaker Taufik Kurniawan expressed his expectation for Statistics Central Agency or BPS to validate data on rice import that recently stirred up a controversy. Taufik Kurniawan said on Saturday, 27 January, that BPS needs to validate the data and transparency is also needed to see what kind of rice was imported. He went on that if the data used is different, it has the potential to trigger unwanted events. Taufik also does not want the policy to meet interests of certain parties. He explained that if that happens, then it will cause them problems. They said they imported premium rice, but non-premium rice was also imported. This will cause harm. Let alone rice price hits 13,000 rupiah, this will harm the public. Previously, government attempted to resolve the issue of discrepancy in data of rice by perfecting the data of the coverage of harvest and production that have not been integrated. The Upstream Oil and Gas Regulatory Special Task Force, or SKK Migas, Deputy Chairman Sukandar Overt Investment in Petrochemistry during his work visit to integrated oil and gas facility belonging to Petronas in Kerteh Pahang, Malaysia. He said that SKK Migas welcomed Petronas to join investment in petrochemistry. He explained Indonesia is developing gas up to 1,100 million standard cubic feet per day, which is converted into liquefied natural gas or petrochemical product, especially in East Kalimantan. Indonesia urgently needs an integrated large petrochemical industry just as that of Petronas in Kerteh that is able to produce a wide range of chemicals including ammonia, ethylene, glycol, polyethylene, and propylene. Furthermore, he continued, Indonesia spends more than $5 million annually to import petrochemicals. The chemicals are the main materials and additional materials in manufacturing industry, ranging from plastic, textile, to cosmetics. The last item, Tour de Indonesia 2018 has entered the third stage, starting from Probolinggo City to Banyuwangi City, East Java. It is 200 kilometers, the longest stage in the Tour de Indonesia. Physical strategy, weather, and distance is a challenge for the bikers during the event of Tour de Indonesia 2018. Indonesian bikers Projo Waseso of the Indonesian national team for second time got the second place who previously in the first stage of Prambanan Temple, Yogyakarta to Ngawi, East Java. The Greek biker Charalampos Kastrantas, who joined the Serbian Partizan bike team, managed to control the runway in the last 300 meters before the finish, defeated Projo Waseso. While in the third place of the third stage occupied by Indonesian bikers Muhammad Imam Arifin from the KFC bicycle team. Therefore, in the third stage, Indonesia brought its two bikers on the podium. At the press conference after the delivery of prizes in Banyuwangi Saturday, 27 January, Projo Waseso admitted that he lost the technique with Charalampos at 300 meters before the finish.
Sebenarnya etapa hari ini strategi saya tuh cuman bertahan dan support ke tim.
Actually, my strategy only survive and support to my team, especially on the climb, and I was in the front group. Finally, with the speed maintenance, can pursue the group. In the last 500 meters, I was in the top 10 positions. They added speed at 300 meters, but I know the route. I immediately added the speed at 200 meters. However, I lost the technique than him. The last is the fourth stage with 170 km starting from Gilimanuk to Denpasar, Bali, was the deciding stage for many categories besides the achievement of the finish. Category are among others category of individual general champion based on time, the team winner, and the best biker champion. Listener, that was the news.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with My Indonesia Show. Today, My Indonesia is entitled Almost All Arena Ready for Asian Games 2018. President Joko Widodo assesses Palembang as the organizer of the Asian Games 2018 next August as very ready after reviewing the venue of Asian Games in Jakabaring Sports City area in Palembang on Monday, January the 22nd. The president said all the arena of the games or the venues physically have been completed 100%. Only needed the additional landscape and park to look more beautiful. According to the president, progress of development and renovation of venues of Asian Games is very significant. A number of venues are already completed, such as for bowling, rowing, beach volleyball, while for shooting, it is in the process of finishing. According to him, after the light rail transportation LRT is finished, the trip from the airport to Jakabaring will be made easier. In Jakarta, the city that co-hosts the Asian Games with Palembang, it is still in the completion stage. Meanwhile, the Ministry of Public Works and People's Housing targets four 2018 Asian Games arenas to be completed by June 2018, following most of the arena at Gelora Bung Karno, Jakarta, and Jakabaring, Palembang, which were completed in 2017. Director General of Cipta Karya of the Ministry, Sri Hartoyo, on the sidelines of the visit of Commission 10 of the House of Representatives in Gelora Bung Karno Stadium, Jakarta on Wednesday said, in addition to the arena of squash, jet ski and sailing in Ancol, North Jakarta, will also be completed in June following the delivery of the location from the Government of Jakarta to the Ministry in October 2017. Another arena that will also complete its renovation is Padepokan Pencak Silat in Taman Mini Indonesia Indah Kompleks East Jakarta. As a form of preparation for the match arena, the Minister of Youth and Sports, Imam Nahrawi, supports the implementation of the 2018 Asian Games self-test event by the Football Association of Indonesia, PSSI. According to the plan, a list tournament will held in June or July this year. For this event, the Organizing Committee of Asian Games, or INASGOG 2018, has invited PSSI to hold independent matches outside the joint test tournament in February this year. Previously, Vice Chairman of PSSI, Joko Driono, said they have prepared an independent test event outside the schedule of the football tournament in the stadium prepared for the 2018 Asian Games. The football matches are to be held at Mukti Wibawa Stadium in Cikarang, Patriot Chandrabaga Stadium in Bekasi, Pekansari Stadium in Bogor, Gelora Bandung Lautan Api Stadium, Jalak Harupat Stadium in Bandung both, and Gelora Sriwijaya Stadium in Palembang. The holding of independent trials in June or July also provides an opportunity for Luis Milla's national team coach to prepare the team more carefully. Well, that was my Indonesia over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's start with January the 28th, 1949, the establishment of United Nations Commission for Indonesia. The role of the United Nations in solving the Indonesian dispute with the Dutch is realized with the establishment of a peace agency in charge of mediating disputes and in peace negotiations. The UN-formed peace agency for Indonesia is the Three-State Commission. The peace agency was formed as a UN reaction to the Dutch military aggression one. However, the Three-State Commission was considered failing to reconcile Indonesia and the Netherlands as the Dutch once again made military aggression. Thus, on January the 28th, 1949, a UN Security Council resolution was issued which, among other things, replaced the Commission of Three States with the United Nations Commission for Indonesia. The work of the United Nations Commission for Indonesia, among others, entered into a Roemrooyen Agreement between Indonesia and the Netherlands. The Roemrooyen Agreement was held on April 14, 1949 at Hotel de Sands in Jakarta. Turning to January the 28, 1986, Challenger plane explodes. On January the 28, 1986, the Challenger space shuttle burst just as it began to launch into the air. The explosion of the Challenger space shuttle caused the 7 astronauts inside killed. It was launched from Florida and exploded minutes after takeoff. The incident was broadcast live from U.S. television and viewers became eyewitness to this incident. After a great explosion, the evacuation could only be done in the next hour because the flap of the space blocked the evolution effort. Seeing this incident, the then U.S. President Ronald Reagan immediately expressed his sadness over the incident. The launch of the Challenger shuttle was originally planned to be on January the 22nd, 1986. However, it was delayed for 5 days due to bad weather. This incident eventually became a bad track record on the history of U.S. space exploration. The last is from January 28, 2002. Astrid Lindgren dies. Astrid Anna Emilia Lindgren is an author of Swedish children's books. She was born on November 14, 1907 in Vimmerby, Sweden, and died on January 28, 2002 in Stockholm. Astrid Lindgren is the author of the most widely translated literary work of children in the world after writers Enid Blyton, H.G. Andersen, and Grimm Brothers. She is ranked 18th in the world as the most widely translated writer. Her first work was Pippi Longstocking. This book has been translated into 70 languages, including Indonesian, and adapted to TV and movie series. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
Light of the Week presents Issues of the Week.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with this week's spotlight, entitled President Jokowi's Visit to Sri Lanka Marks 66 Years of Diplomatic Relations Between the Two Countries. The state visit of President Joko Widodo to Sri Lanka is a very historic moment. This is the first visit after 39 years, and this year Indonesia and Sri Lanka also commemorate 66 years of diplomatic relations. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi told reporters in Colombo, Sri Lanka on Wednesday that President Joko Widodo had a private meeting with Sri Lankan President Maithripala Sirisena at the presidential secretariat. The presidents also held a plenary session attended by Sri Lankan Prime Minister and members of the Sri Lankan cabinet. During the meeting, President Joko Widodo delivered some suggestions, such as cooperation in the field of railway, where PT Inka, the Indonesian railway industry, has conducted several technical meetings with its partners in Sri Lanka. Retno Marsudi said, hopefully with this president's visit, there will be concrete some follow-ups, namely export of carriages, both passenger cars and freight cars from PT Inka to Sri Lanka. In addition, the president also expressed Indonesia's interest in infrastructure development in Sri Lanka, which is being done on a large scale. With more cooperation, more consultation is required. The two heads of state also agreed to form a joint consultant meeting on a regular basis to be chaired by the foreign ministers of both countries. Meanwhile, Sri Lankan President Maithripala Sirisena expects that the number of students of the Indonesian National Resilience Institute or Lemhanas from Sri Lanka can be increased. Also, the improvement of capacity building in education and tourism, such as the empowerment of teachers and tour guides. Related to that, President Joko Widodo also responded positively to these requests. Following the meeting, the two presidents also witnessed the signing of three MOUs, namely ASAR cooperation to improve aeronautical and maritime capabilities of search and rescue or SAR, on higher education cooperation and encouraging concrete realization of this cooperation through capacity building for teachers and students, and establishing research networks between universities and research centers, also the signing of the MOU on drug and psychotropic eradication cooperation with a focus on law enforcement and capacity building. On the sidelines of the visit, there were also business meetings conducted between Indonesia and Sri Lanka's entrepreneurs. An MOU on cooperation between the Chamber of Commerce of Industry of both countries was also signed. Also present at the bilateral meeting were Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, Darmi Nasution, Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi, Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung, Indonesian Ambassador to Sri Lanka, I Gusti Ngurah Ardiasa, and Head of the BNPB Basarnas, Marsal Muhammad Syogi. That was this week's Spotlight over Voice of Indonesia. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. After flying 2 hours and 40 minutes, President Joko Widodo and First Lady Iriana Joko Widodo arrived at Hazrat Shah Jalal International Airport, Dhaka, Bangladesh at 16:20 local time or 17:20 WIB using Indonesian Presidential Plane 1 on Saturday, January 27, 2018. The Indonesian government ensured the earthquake victims will receive assistance during the emergency response period. This was conveyed by Minister of Social Idrus Marham on Saturday, 27 January, when he handed over assistance to residents of Megamendung Sub-District Bogor, West Java, who became victims of the earthquake some time ago. The United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, or UNESCO, is pushing for the importance of a strategic environmental assessment step in protecting the rainforest as the World Cultural Heritage. WWF Indonesian Courageous Orangutan Conservation Award, Khairul Saleh, an animal ecologist from WWF Indonesia, told RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia on Friday in Jakarta that the protection of orangutan population in Indonesia should be done optimally given the high vulnerability to extinction. House of Representatives Deputy Speaker Taufik Kurniawan expressed his expectations for Statistics Central Agency to validate data on rice import that recently stirred up a controversy. The Upstream Oil and Gas Regulatory Special Task Force SKK Migas Deputy Chairman Sukanda overt investment in petrochemistry during his work visit to integrated oil and gas facility belonging to Petronas in Kerti, Pahang, Malaysia. 2 Indonesian bikers grabbed the 2nd and 3rd place of 3rd stage of Tour de Indonesia 2018 in Banyuwangi. Listener, that was the news in brief. Broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 9525 kHz, you can also listen to audio streaming www.voi.co.id. Listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder, introducing Indonesian tourism like places of interest, art and culture, also cuisine. Today, I like to take you to Maros, South Sulawesi to enjoy the beauty of Tujua Waterfall. So stay tuned in to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In addition to shortwave, you can also listen to this program via www.voinews.id. Maros Regency is indeed one of the districts in South Sulawesi that has many nature attractions, one of which is Tujua Waterfall, located in Tompu Bulu Village, Maros Regency, South Sulawesi Province. Tujua Waterfall is one of the big waterfalls in Maros. It is very fresh because the spring water comes from the mountains of the Tompu Bulu region. The scenery around the waterfall is still natural. Facilities at the tourist attraction is admittedly not yet complete. Even so, there are some food and beverage sellers around it. Once you arrive at the parking lot of Tujua Waterfall, you still have to continue the journey for more or less 1 hour, depending on your walking speed, of course. On the way, you will pass some houses that produce brown sugar. Locals around the waterfalls are also very friendly. After a long walk through the woods, you will hear the sound of the waterfall, which indicates the location of the waterfall is close. Surely the roar will spur your spirits to get to the location immediately. When you reach Tujua Waterfall, you can take picture to capture the beautiful scenery. Here, you can climb to the rocks above the waterfall. Just below the waterfall, it turns out there is a stone cave. So, if you want to feel a tremendous sensation of entering the cave under the waterfall, try to climb up to level 2 first of this waterfall. Then you can go down to the cave. After exploring Tujua Waterfall, you can taste local food that is sold around here. Well, that was today's issue of Indonesian Wonder featuring Tujua Waterfall. Tomorrow, we will meet again with other interesting topics. See you then!
Thank you for still being with us in Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia or to our email address english@voi.co.id or to voi.english@gmail.com. Listener now, let's listen to Miscellany.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is Radio Service Voice of Indonesia with regular program Miscellany, a special segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, environment and technology, and even lifestyle. Today's edition is about Polytechnic students create coconut fiber pillar. Stay tuned in 9525 kHz or www.voinews.id. Listener Indonesia has the largest coconut plantation in the world with a total area of 3.86 million hectares or 31.2% of the total world's area of about 12 million hectares. Approximately 98% of coconut plantations in Indonesia is people's plantation and the rest are state plantations and private plantations. The spread of coconut plantation is almost evenly distributed throughout Indonesia, with the highest share in Sumatra reaching 34.5%. Especially in West Sumatra, coconut plantation area continues to be expanded as part of efforts to preserve the typical commodities of the area. Listen Canada, coconut is the most widely used plant by the people. Coconuts are used in various foods and even the water can be consumed directly. Once picked, coconut fiber is disposed. Coconut fibers need to be disposed to get the coconut meat at the main part of fruit that the market is interested in. The risk of disposing coconut fibers can occur at any time, not to mention if it is to be peeled manually, which is less efficient in the industry that requires large-scale coconut production because it takes a long time. Seeing this, students of Payakumbuh State Polytechnic West Sumatra, Ruri Jalil Jabbar and his friends made an innovation to make a coconut fiber peeler with roller cylinder model. This tool can help to improve performance and reduce the risk of the coconut fiber peeler. Listener Ruri and his friends not only made a roller cylinder but also looked for the most efficient technique to peel coconut fiber automatically by a machine. Finally, they succeeded to make a coconut fiber peeler that works using motor rotation forwarded to a speed reductor. The roller then separates coconut meat from its fiber perfectly. According to Ruri, the peeler still needs to be improved in order to be used by small industries. Ruri said that plant innovations made by polytechnic students could be beneficial for people. According to him, the most important thing is that polytechnic students must be sensitive toward any problems occurred in society, thus they can give technical solution to solve the problem. By this innovation, Ruri and his team not only gave solution but also made an achievement as the first champion in designing agriculture machine and tool at the 9th Agricultural Technic Week in Aceh. Well, that was miscellany for today. See you again with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of our service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Alika, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will introduce you to one of Indonesian male singer, Arman Maulana. To initiate our segment, Music Corner for today, let's listen to a song entitled 11 January or January 11th. Enjoy the song!
Akulah pelindungmu,
was a song entitled 11 January or January 11th, sung by Gigi Band. Arman Maulana began his career as a cover boy vinylist of a magazine in Indonesia. After that, he began to join a band called Next Band in 1990. Not lasting for so long, then he joined one of the leading vocal group Trio Libels in 1991. After the Trio Libels, Arman had issued a solo album titled Kau Tetap Milikku or You Are Still Mine. Unfortunately, this album has not succeeded in boosting his name. On March 22, 1994, Arman together with Arya Baron, Thomas Ramdan, Ronald Fristianto, and Dewa Bujana founded a band called Gigi. With Gigi, Arman as a vocalist became widely known by music lovers in Indonesia. Listeners, before we continue our chit-chat about Arman Maulana, let's listen to a song entitled Hanya Kau Yang Bisa or Only You Who Can. Happy listening.
Bahagia seketika diriku tak berdaya. Kau anugerah yang terindah dan pernah berubah. Hanya engkau yang bisa sempurna. Tak akan ku izinkan cinta terlalu mudah berhenti, semudah seperti hari berganti. Jangan pernah menyerah meski cinta tak mudah. Apapun yang akan terjadi, bersama kita berjanji menuju satu cinta yang abadi. Kau takkan tergantikan, kau yang mampu bertahan. Saat kisah kasih kita redup dan menawan, bagai langit berawan, kau anugerah yang terindah dan pernah berubah. Oh, hanya engkau yang bisa membuatku sempurna. Tak akan ku izinkan cinta terlalu mudah berhenti, semudah seperti hari berganti. Jangan pernah menyerah meski cinta tak mudah. Apapun jangan
akan terjadi bersama kita lo janji menuju satu cinta yang abadi. Ku beri hati, ku sapa menjawab. Hanya engkau yang bisa
membuatku sempurna,
membuatku sempurna.
Tak akan kuizinkan cinta kekurangan hati semudah seperti hari.
Jangan pernah menjadi bersama kita lo janji menuju satu cinta yang abadi. Keluargaku namun kau segan sama rumah, meskipun tak ada yang selainnya sempurna. Keluargaku namun kau segan, meskipun tak ada yang salah.
Listener Arman Maulana tried to sing as a soloist for the second time, although still incorporated in the band Gigi. He released a single titled Hanya Kau Yang Bisa or Only You Who Can in 2016. Song created by Lale, Malik and The Essentials guitarist tells about a beauty of love. This song is well received by music lovers in Indonesia. At the end of 2016, Arman released a single entitled Sebelah Mata or A Half Eyes. This song has an interesting video clip concept. Here, Arman Maulana participated in inviting young Indonesian musicians into models such as Bara Suara, Dekat, Elephant Kind, Stars and Rabbit, Lale, Nino, and Panji Pragiwaksono. Then the third single titled Tunggu Di Sana or Wait There, released in December 2017 ago. This song prefers the acoustic music arrangement that sounds more funk and upbeat. For Arman, this new single is a music representative of the 1980s that he loved when he was a teenager. In this single, Arman was assisted by Asta, a member of Ran's music group who became a producer and arranger. Listener to end our music corner for today, let's listen to two songs from Arman Maulana entitled Sebelah Mata or A Half Eyes and Tunggu Di Sana or Wait There. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Tiap kaki melangkah di hadapmu dinda, adakah sedikit getar hati terasa? Saat senyum terlukis di wajahmu cinta, adakah wajahku hadir dalam semesta? Meski ku bukan siapa-siapa, namun ingin hati sekedar hadir menyapa cinta, memastikan kau terjaga dalam lembayung jingga. Berharap nyawaku ada selintas di dalam senjamu. Oh no, oh no, oh adinda, di mata ini kau terindah. Meskipun belum tentu kau tahu aku ada, mungkin kau hanya memandang aku sebelah mata. Tapi aku tak peduli itu, ku tahu ku jauh dari nomor satu. Diriku bukan siapa-siapa, namun ingin hati sekedar hadir menyapa cinta. Biarkanlah suka yang kini ku rasa,
tetap jadi sebuah angan yang masih rahasia. Namun jangan sia-sia selintas di dalam senjamu. Biarlah ku pendam rasa sendiri.
Radio Republic of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of RRS Building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
Tunggu di sana, sejenak saja.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Aku sesali cintaku untukmu, meskipun dirimu tak nyata untukku. Sejak pertama kau mengisi hari-hariku, aku tak meragu mengapa harus dirimu. Aku takkan bertahan bila tak teryakinkan sesungguhnya cintaku memang hanya untukmu. Sungguh ku tak menahan bila jalan suratan menuliskan dirimu memang bukan untukmu. Selamanya sejak pertama kau mengisi hari-hariku, mengapa harus dirimu. Aku takkan bertahan bila tak teryakinkan sesungguhnya cintaku memang hanya untukmu. Sungguh ku tak menahan bila jalan suratan menuliskan dirimu untukku selamanya. Kadang aku lelah menantimu, pastikan cinta untukku.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.